Very good morning to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 3, verse 12 to verse 31. We know that as sinners, all our works of righteousness or good works are considered filthy rags in the sight of God, because these hands of ours have been stained by sin, and therefore everything that we touch will have the stain of sin. It may be good when you compare it with the deeds of other men, but when you and I compare the standard of God against the works that man continues to do, God says they are so far short of my standard and my glory. And so you and I cannot do any good works in order to earn salvation. But after salvation, there is a world of difference. These sin-stained hands have been washed by the blood of Christ. This tongue of ours that used to curse and swear has now been cleansed and washed by the blood of Christ. It can be used by God and by the Holy Spirit to praise and to give the gospel message that will bring eternal life to others. This mind of ours that used to be so self-centered, that occupies our mind on how to be greedy, how to fulfill the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But this mind has now been cleansed by the blood of Christ and filled with the Word of God, whereby we can now think like Christ. This body, in other words, that God has given to us that is weak and frail, is the body that God says, I want you to use it for my service. That is why He has saved us, and not take us home to be with Himself, but to allow us to remain on earth. Because we know that some have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ while they are in beds of affliction. And very soon after that, the Lord will call them home. They do not have a life of service on this earth because they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the last few days of their lives on earth. Last Thursday, we had to bury a sister in Christ. She had been suffering from cancer for 9 years. It was during this course of her suffering that she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and as her Savior. She came to know the Lord Jesus Christ very late in her life. She was only 52 when the Lord took her home. She hardly had any time on earth to serve the Lord. Her husband was not a believer. The two children, two girls, were not believers. So we conducted the services on Wednesday night and on Thursday morning, basically to share the gospel. I'd like to thank all those who attended, because she was not from our church. Of course, the family members were not. Many of them were not believers. But the choir was there, and your presence was an encouragement to the bereaved family, to know that even though she was a stranger to all of us, that because she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and as her Savior, she has now become part of God's family. And your presence there to sing hymns, to pray for the family, to say words of encouragement to the family, meant a lot to the family. Though we may be total strangers on earth, but we are part of the same family of God, as we are saved by the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So she did not have any days on earth whereby her body was healthy and strong, whereby she could serve the Lord. But that is not the case for many of us. You have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven and washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these sin-stained hands have now been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that the Jesus of the Bible tells us that even as simple as taking the cup of cold water and giving it to someone in Jesus' name, you will not lose your reward. In other words, as simple as taking a cup of cold water to refresh someone, as simple as that, the Lord says, I will remember. I will remember even this simple little task. The service that we can have for the Lord is always an honor and a privilege. And so do not, after you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, do not serve, please. Your life must count for the Savior. Because your window of service is only right now, while you're in this earthen vessel. With every passing year, and the year is about to pass soon, isn't it? 2013. We are now at the last few weeks of October, and very soon it will be November and then Christmas. Another year would come, another year would be gone. And if you have not been serving the Lord, please evaluate yourself. Ask yourself, why have I not been serving? The Lord has promised us that every child of God is given at least one gift. And this gift must be used for the blessing of others, for the profit of withal. And your life can now be such a tremendous blessing. You use it in the past to serve yourself. You use it in the past as a sinner, undone, depraved, for carnal desires and to fulfill carnal, lustful desires. But now that you are born again, why are you not using the same body with the same, perhaps even more zeal and fervency to serve the Lord? To me, I cannot understand. I just simply cannot understand. Why would God's children, who have from within their heart, say that they have experienced the goodness of the grace and mercies of God, that we can be so ungrateful and so rebellious? To me, that is not possible. To have tasted the goodness and the grace of God Almighty, where we are all deserving sinners that should be bound for hell, spending our eternity in hell after death. And yet this is no longer our destination. We have been delivered, we have been snatched from the depths of hell by the grace and the mercies of God. We know we don't deserve it. We know we deserve hell. But God saved us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And He gave us the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we do not need to end up in hell. Now, having been delivered from hell, eternal punishment in the fiery furnace of hell itself, how can we not be filled with gratitude and thankfulness to serve Him? Serving the Lord must be fulfilled based upon God's condition. Do not serve the Lord according to your convenience and on your terms. When you serve the Lord, it must be on His term. Because if you want to serve the Lord on your terms, keep your service. You don't deserve to serve the Lord. For a man like Joshua, when he was called by God in Joshua chapter 1 to serve Him, did you know that God said to Joshua, "Moses was my servant. You are a minister of Moses." He was not allowed to call himself servant of the Lord. Or at least the Lord did not call him servant of the Lord. Moses was. And Joshua only earned the title servant of the Lord in the last few verses of Joshua, the book of Joshua. In other words, after living a life of faithfulness, then only God ascribed to him the servant of the Lord. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. He spent his entire life to earn that title. Today, everyone seems to be called the servant of the Lord. Shame on us. If we do not live a life of service that is faithful, that is truly of Christ, how dare we call ourselves servant of the Lord? We are not talking about any man on earth. We are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What makes you think that He wants you to be His servant? What makes you think that your service is good enough to be categorized by the word Christ, Christian? If you and I serve the Lord, it must be on His terms. And one of the things that we learn from this episode of Ehud and Eglon is this. The only condition for service, you'll find this in verse 15. And I hope you realize this condition. And the children of Israel, verse 12, did evil again in the sight of the Lord. As you can see in the earlier verses, verse 8 to verse 11, which we studied last Lord's Day, the problem was up north. Here, the problem was on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. That's where Moab was located, the Moabites. Please understand that the period of judges is not a judge that will rule all Israel. These judges only ministered in certain parts of Israel, just as Othniel, from verse 8 to verse 11, ministered up north, where the problem came from Cushan Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia. Whereas down south, on the eastern side of the Dead Sea, that's where Moab was located, so we have another problem down south. And so the Bible tells us the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and then the Lord had to strengthen Eglon. Now Eglon means a person who looks like a calf. C-A-L-F. That means he has to be very big. And as you can see, the Bible did say he is big. Right? He was a very fat man. That's what verse 17 says. The king of Moab against Israel. So God helped Eglon to be stronger than Israel. So that Israel will have to become servants to Eglon. Because Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Bear this in mind. Just because you are children of God and you do not want to live a holy life, God will just simply leave you alone. Because He loves you, He will not leave you alone. He will send trials and difficulties into your life, hoping that through these trials and difficulties, you will stop sinning. That is what God did throughout this period of judges of more than 350 years. Each time Israel sinned, God will send oppressors to stop Israel from sinning. If you keep on running away from the Lord, if you are truly born again and you still do not want to serve the Lord, and you still want to go the way of the world, even after you are truly born again, God will discipline you. And you can rest assured the discipline of the Lord can be very, very serious. It can include cancer. It can include all kinds of so-called accidents. Please understand that God is not a God whose eyes are closed, whose hands are so short that He cannot intervene. He wants the best for us. And when we do not know what is best for us and we go the way of the world and we continue to bring shame to the name of Christ that we bear, please understand that because God loves you, God will do what He did to Israel. Because they did evil in the sight of the Lord cannot bless Israel. The Lord had to punish Israel. Now, how long did God have to keep Israel in this state? Until Israel repents. He gathered unto Him the children of Ammon and Amalek, the Amalekites as well, the mortal enemies of Israel. And then He went and smote Israel, and they possessed the city of palm trees, which is none other than Jericho. So they lost the city of Jericho to the Moabites and the Amalekites. That means Israel had lost a battle. That means many Israelites would have died in the battle. They died. And so they had to be put under tribute. And so they have to serve Eglon, the king of Moab. How long? 18 years. 18 years before they begin to repent and realize we need the Lord. This should not even be 18 months. You should straight away, immediately stop sinning, come back to the Lord. Don't go the way of the world. Enough must be enough. Serving the Lord is the best life that you could ever have on this earth. Why do you want to replace it with serving mammon? Why do you want to replace it with serving self? Why do you want to replace it with serving money? All these are terrible taskmasters. But not the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you say is your Lord and your Savior, who died on the cross for your sins. And now He is your Master and your Lord. You have to serve Him. Now look at the condition that we talked about, verse 15. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, so after they repent, not before, after they have repented of their sin, they realize that it was their sin that resulted in Eglon, the king of Moab, and the Amalekites killing the Israelites, conquering and defeating the people in Jericho and capturing their city. The Lord raised them up a deliverer. So the first thing you have to remember, in every service, you have been raised by the Lord. As long as you remember this, you will be humble. As long as you know that you have been saved and raised by the Lord for whatever area of service God has for you to do, you will give God the glory. You will not want to usurp His position as God in your life. And you will always count your service unto the Lord as an honor, as the greatest privilege that He could ever give to any creature on this earth. Raised of the Lord, you have to know that you have been saved by the Lord and raised by the Lord, raised of the Lord for the time like this. You are not here by accident to be born in the 20th century and to continue to live on this earth as a child of God into the 21st century. It is no accident. You and I can't fight the battles of Martin Luther. We were not born yet. Just as Martin Luther and John Calvin could not fight our battles in the 21st century because they have lived and they have died. They have their battles in their lifetime. Each and every one of us, we have our battles in our lifetime. Please understand that serving the Lord means you are in the battlefield. It is not a game. Calling yourself a Christian is not some status symbol. Hanging the platinum cross around your neck is more than just a status symbol. It is to tell your friends and loved ones that I am in Christ Jesus. That when you look at me, because I'm in Christ Jesus, you're supposed to see Christ in my life. You look at how I serve the Lord. You look at how I testify for the Lord. Please look at me. That's what you are telling people when you call yourself a Christian. When you wear the cross, you tell people that I am a Christian. I belong to Christ. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. That's what it means. That's what service means. Someone who has been raised by the Lord for a time such as this. We live in the last of the last days. Many of the signs that the Lord Jesus Christ had already prophesied for us in the Gospels have now been fulfilled in our lifetime. Before the Lord returns, Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 24 that the Gospel will be preached all over the world. It was not so in His days, but 2,000 years later, with the invention of all these modern technologies, with the radio, with the internet, with all these modern technologies, the Gospel has already been preached throughout the whole world. Not that the whole world will become believers, but the whole world has already been given the Gospel. The Bible also tells us that before the Lord returns, there will be great signs and wonders. That if it were possible, these false Christs and false prophets doing great signs and wonders would deceive even the very elect. That means they are going to do miracles that are so realistic that if it were possible, but not possible, of course, to deceive the elect. Do you know that the charismatic movement call themselves signs and wonders? Do you know that they are the only denomination who dares to call themselves mega churches? Great signs and wonders. The word great there is the Greek word for mega. God has already prophesied that there will be such a group in the last days prior to the return of Christ. And we are living in that generation, isn't it? They came about in the turn of the 20th century. 1906, the charismatic movement was born. And God has placed each and every one of us here on this earth for a time such as this. A world that is decaying. And the Lord Jesus Christ told us that before His return, there will be a falling away of Christianity. And it has already occurred. Look at the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches, born in 1948. Where in that movement. You have all religions, many of these major religions as members of the World Council of Churches. What more do we want from God's Word to help us realize that when the Bible says the last days, God meant it. You have been raised by the Lord to be saved and to be allowed to remain on earth, raised by the Lord for a time such as this. Don't just spend your time making money. That is foolishness. Because every cent that you're going to make will one day go to the Antichrist. The Lord has already revealed that to us. Our Heavenly Father has revealed that to us as His children. You use all the resources that God has given to you to help you be a better, more godly Christian. Please. That's what all these material things are for. Not for you to just simply accumulate them for accumulation's sake. Not for you and me to store them up in our bank so that our trust is more in our bank accounts than in God. If that is our problem, it is a very serious problem. You have just replaced Jesus Christ with mammon, dollars and cents. And that is a very, very sad state to be in, because you have now become like Lot. If you are truly born again, you should wake up every morning vexed in your spirit. You have been raised by the Lord just as Ehud had been raised by the Lord to serve Him. He was raised to be a deliverer because they were in the battlefield. Israelites were killed by the Moabites. And that's why the Moabites subjected Israel to tribute. They have to pay them tribute every year. And so because of the repentance, God now raised up Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. Very few left-handed men in those days. But apparently there were many Benjamites who were left-handed. And Ehud was one of them. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab, which was their probably annual tribute to give to the king. Many people accompanied Ehud, as verse 18 tells us, because after the tribute was given, he sent away the people. So Ehud was a form of a kind of a leader. And he knew that God has a purpose for him. He knew that God has called him. He knew that God has raised him up to deliver Israel from the yoke of the Moabites. You must know firsthand, in your own heart of hearts, that after you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, God has raised you and placed you where you are for service. Find out and discover what that service is. If you are married, parent with children, that is one area of service. Be the best godly father, godly mother you could ever be to your children. Don't be a hypocrite. Only have the appearance of godliness in church and then at home you are like the world. You have been raised by the Lord for a time such as this, so that every area of your life must glorify the Lord. In church, you have to serve the Lord. You must know where you can serve the Lord. You have a particular gift, and God has given us gifts for the blessing of others. And if you don't serve, others will not be blessed. God wants to use you to make your life a blessing to others, for eternity, to strengthen the faith of the believers. Why don't you? Like coming for vigil services. As simple as that. To go there is an encouragement. At least an encouragement to me. Because I told the choir, I told them, if you don't come, I'm going to sing solo. Because most of them are not believers. No kid. If there are no members who are there attending, I will have to sing solo. Because I have attended funerals where I was the only believer, and everyone was not a believer, and I was alone. I know how difficult it is. And I know that for these unbelievers, they need to see and understand what Christians are like. As simple as this. So much you can do. Don't waste it accumulating things of the world if you keep on doing this, you are a fool because you are wasting your life. We have many fellowship groups. We have many Bible studies. We have many ministries. Why are you not serving? Sure, there will be problems in service. We all know that. But the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is more than enough to help us weather whatever storm that we may encounter in service. Whatever trials and difficulties and problems we encounter in service, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God will be more than sufficient to help us overcome them. Sure, you're going to step on people's toes. People will step on your toes when you serve together in committees. Apologize from the heart. Say, I'm sorry. When somebody says, I'm sorry to you, forgive. The Lord has forgiven you, isn't it? The Lord has forgiven us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a debt that we can never pay. Serve the Lord because you have been raised by the Lord for a time such as this. Now, just because you have been raised by the Lord does not mean that we do not use our common sense. Human responsibility is not denied. Just because we have been raised by the Lord to serve doesn't mean that Ehud now just did whatever he wanted. Now, God prepared Ehud. He was left-handed not by accident. Most people are right-handed. Now, if you're right-handed and you want to pull your dagger will be on your left. Because if you put on the right, it's very hard to pull it out. So when the guards look at Ehud, they will look on the left-hand side to see whether he has a dagger, because most people are right-handed. And so because Ehud was left-handed, his dagger was on his right-hand side. Because that's how you pull out the dagger. And all these are prepared by the Lord. Now you watch. Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges, which both sides will be sharp, which was not very common in those days, of a cubit length. A cubit is from the tip of your finger to your elbow. That will be about 1.5 feet. That's how long this dagger was. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. That's why he wore it on his right side. Covered up. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, as was the custom, because it was an annual tribute, which they had been doing for the past 18 years. And Eglon was a very fat man. So he was a very clumsy man, he was a very fat man, and he was the king of Moab. And when he had made an end to offer the present that was Ehud, he sent away the people that bore the present. He knew that he was on a very dangerous mission, because he was there to kill Eglon. And if he had not succeeded, or if he, after killing Eglon, he is caught, he does not want others to be caught together with him. And so he sent all the people away, those who help him carry the present. Today he will be alone. When you serve the Lord, you have to be very considerate. When you serve the Lord, you have to think of others other than yourself. People who serve the Lord, thinking of themselves first and last, they make terrible servants because they are self-centered. All they care about is their own. How they are named. Such servants of the Lord does not want. The Lord wants us to serve Him and become invisible. That's the kind of servant whereby when you are invisible, you think of others first all the time. Please make sure you know. Number one, you are raised of the Lord for service. And then you have to use your common sense, human responsibility, to make sure that when you serve the Lord, it is your responsibility to make sure that you think of others, how your life can be a blessing to others. Where others' needs come first, not yours. That's what service entails. Ehud make sure that the other people's safety was taken into consideration because he was in a very precarious situation to stay behind, to assassinate the king. It was a very difficult, dangerous task. But he makes sure that others are safe. When you serve the Lord, you have to think of others. You cannot think of yourself. Our problem perhaps in not serving is we are so self-centered. We only want to serve when my own things, my own needs have already been satisfied. That kind of attitude, God does not want. Then you ask yourself a question. Am I truly born again? Because that kind of self-centered, selfish attitude cannot be of God. Why would I have this kind of selfish, self-centered attitude? If I am truly born again, if I am a child of God, if God says my hands have been washed by the blood of Christ, every part of me is now cleansed by the blood of Christ, including my motive, including my mind, that I can be like Christ in my thinking, in my reasoning, because now I study God's Word. How can I still want to serve with a self-centered, selfish motive, which was what I had as the old man when I was not born again? That was the only agenda. Everything that we did as an unbeliever was for personal gain. If you're nice to this person can be of use to you one day. And those people that are of no use to you, you don't need to be nice to them, you just simply brush them aside. That was the old man. But why are we still reasoning and thinking in this manner that as long as you are of no use to me, I will not care? Only if you are nice to me, useful to me, then I'll be very nice to you. When you serve the Lord, you think of others first. You think of others' blessing, others' benefit, others' safety. You don't think of yourself when you serve. That's what Ehud did. And he was also very courageous. And so after he sent the people away, he himself turned again from the quarries. The quarries here refer to graven images. So the palace of Eglon have many graven images. And then he said, that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence, don't say anything. The king said to him, all right, you have a special secret errand for me. All right, the king said, don't say any more. And then he told all those servants who stood by him, he told them to get out. And all that stood by King Eglon went out from him. So now left only Ehud and Eglon. Apparently Eglon knew Ehud pretty well to allow him to remain privately with him. And Ehud came unto him, verse 20, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. Now he was telling the truth. It is a one-point message, isn't it? Very pointed. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand onto his right side, and then he took the dagger from his right thigh, and then he thrust it into the belly of Eglon. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. The dirt means his refuse. And all the junk came out. That's why the guards outside smell the refuse, his feces. And that's why they thought that he was doing his business. That's why they did not go in. And that availed Ehud the time for him to depart without any pursuers coming after him. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and he locked them. And when he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, and they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. Covering his feet means he's doing his big business. That's a very euphemistic, a very nice way of describing someone doing his business. Because this covering his feet was the same description to describe King Saul when he was in the cave where David and his men were hiding. All right, so this is a euphemistic way to say that he was doing his business in the bathroom. And so they left him be. And they tarried till they were ashamed until they could not wait any longer. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key, opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped, or they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Seirah. So he fled in safety. So not only was he considerate, you want to serve the Lord, you have to be very courageous. You have to be very brave. Serving the Lord needs men of courage. All the knowledge you have of the Bible, if you don't have a heart of courage to back up what you need to say at the right time, do what you need to do at the right time, you are useless. If you are a man who is very fearful and easily frightened, you cannot serve the Lord. You must have the courage to speak up when you need to speak up. In the face of whoever, whatever, what the person might do to you, you do not take that into consideration. You leave it to the Lord. You have to say what is needed of you, and you have to do what is required of you. You need to be courageous to serve the Lord. God will give you the courage. You don't have to be afraid. You be a godly witness and Christian in your workplace. You stand on Christian principles. That whatever happens, you stand on your Christian principles. If there is anything that is done that is not ethical, even if it is legal, you don't do it because it is not ethical. The Word of God must be the foremost principle that you apply to your life. Not the law of man, not the word of man in your company. It has to be the Word of God. Do not do anything that will bring shame to the name of Christ. If your boss were to bring shame to the name of Christ by using the name of Jesus Christ in vain, you have to tell him, please don't use the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word. He is my Lord and my Savior. Tell him. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Live a life of holiness. Make sure you do not yield. Do not succumb to temptation. Do not be seduced by the world. They will tempt you with the perks, with more money, with all the luxuries. But they will want to buy your soul. Your soul is already bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sell it to somebody else. It's not yours to sell. Be courageous to stand up for truth and righteousness. Because when you serve, you're going to face trials and difficulties. Do you know why? Because the real battle is now revealed to us in the last few verses of this chapter. You look at what Ehud said. Verse 27. And it came to pass when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and now he is calling all the Israelites in that region. The children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And look at what he said to them. He said to them, follow after me, for the Lord had delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. Please note what he said. The Lord has delivered, past tense, on purpose. The real battle is a battle of faith. It's a battle of trusting in the Lord. This was not a battle between Ehud and Eglon, between Israel and the Moabites. This was a battle between God and Satan. It was a spiritual warfare. As long as Israel live a life of idolatry and sin, they bring shame to the name of Christ. They bring shame to the name of our Savior. And the testimony and the witness of a disobedient, a rebellious child of God, Satan will use his terrible witness and testimony for his own end. So much so that when the gospel is preached, Satan will use you as an example to tell the people, you want to be a Christian? You look at this kind of Christian. Look at them. They bring shame. You sure you want to be this kind of Christian? He will make use of you. Don't become a pawn and a tool of Satan. Serving the Lord is always a spiritual warfare. It is a matter of faith. It is a matter of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he used the past tense to say, the battle is already won. The Lord has already delivered your enemies, the enemies that you are fighting against. The Lord has already defeated them for us. Isn't that true? When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, has he not defeated our last enemy, death, for us? You and I have nothing to be afraid of. The battle is always spiritual. That is why the Lord raised us up. We do what is humanly our responsibilities to do. We make sure when we serve, we think of others first. We need courage to serve the Lord. We need to sacrifice ourselves and our time. But always bear in mind that the real battle is not flesh and blood. The real battle is spiritual. It's not the Moabites, it's Israel's own sin. Why was the Moabites stronger than Israel? Because Israel sinned. And that's why Israel must not go back into sin. Same for us. Your battle is not flesh and blood. It is your life of holiness. It's a life of testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And serving the Lord is one of the best ways that you could testify of the power of God in your life. And you have this honor and privilege bestowed upon you. Because the Lord did not save you and take you home immediately. He saved you and He allowed you to remain on earth. And now is the only time when you can serve the Lord. Because the moment you stop breathing, this body of yours is over. It's all over. That's it. That lady whom the Lord has called home, she can't serve the Lord. It's all over for her. Oh, she will be resurrected by the grace and the mercies of God. She will be with us in heaven by the grace and mercies of God. But as far as the life of service on earth was concerned, she had only a few moments. But you have a life on this earth of many years. Don't waste it. Redeem the time. Whatever time you had on earth in the past that was not used for serving the Lord because you were not a believer, those times are gone forever. But from the moment the Lord saved you, whatever hours, days, weeks, years that you have left, use them for the glory and the service of the Lord. Don't use it for mammon. Don't use it for self anymore. The battle is always spiritual. Ehud understood this. And with these words, they went down after him. They followed him. And they took the forts of Jordan, that means the tributaries, toward Moab. And they suffered not a man to pass over. That means they make sure that the Moabites would not escape, would not cross over into Israel. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty. The word lusty means very greasy, very fat. And all men of valor. And there escaped not a man. And so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. God was gracious and merciful. And so now they have peace for 80 years. As long as the judge was alive, they followed the Lord. Your life of service can bring so much blessing to others. Why don't you serve the Lord? Now that you can, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood can wash and has already washed away all the sin and the stain of sin from your life. This weak body can be now used by God for eternal purposes. Why don't you? Begin at home, but don't stop at home. Continue to serve the Lord in school, in your workplace, and surely, and it must be in church. You can do so much for the Lord. Ask yourself, how much more can I do for the Lord? And for those who have not been serving, I pray and hope that you would reconsider. Look at your life. Check your salvation if you are truly born again. If you are born again, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And the Lord has saved you. You have been raised by the Lord for a time such as this. When you serve the Lord, think of others. Serve with courage and strength. Don't flinch. And understand that the battle is always spiritual, not flesh and blood. So that you will always pray. Always lean on the Lord. Always trust in the Lord. And as long as you are fighting God's battle, you can rest assured the battle is already won because of Christ. They can kill this body, but they can never, never take away the love of God that God has for you because of Jesus Christ. Satan cannot take away your salvation if you are born again. But he will never stop trying to take away your witness and your testimony. And when you don't serve him, he has succeeded. When you serve him, keep on serving him. Don't let him succeed in taking away the testimony. Keep on serving. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this life that You have redeemed by the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For this life that was once a servant of sin is now a servant to God Most High. And all this was made possible because of the finished work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, rose from the dead for my justification. Help me, O Lord, as I sojourn on this earth, that it will be a life of witness and testimony and service, that others, when they see my life, they will see Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven. What an honor, what a privilege thou hast bestowed upon sinners such as ourselves, saved by your grace and your mercy, to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Help us, therefore, to do so with joy, with gladness, and with a heart of love, and with a life of sacrifice. At the end of our life's journey, may we all acknowledge that we are but unprofitable servants. We pray, Father, for some who may not be serving. May thou be merciful to speak to such a heart and cause this person, O Lord, to find out where this person could serve you, beginning from their own home. May they be a godly witness and testimony to their families, and may they find an area of service where their lives can be a blessing to others in the church, in the school, or in their workplace. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.